This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Here's Nikki.
Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, wherever you are. This is the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm Nikki Glaser. I am here in St. Louis, Missouri. Getting ready to go out on the road this weekend. I'm going to be in Las Vegas on Friday. I'm going to be in Seattle for two shows on Saturday. And then Oregon, Southern Oregon on Sunday for an outdoor type show. Apparently deer walk through the venue. I'm very excited about these shows. Things are coming together. I'm going to be with my friends. Yeah, people hear my schedule sometimes and they're like, oh, how do you do it? And I'm like, the traveling and the performing isn't the hard part. The hard part is, I don't know what the hard part is anymore. The looming burden of having to have things like really soft, like, you know, taping my special, I guess, is a looming threat. Having to clean my room so that cameras can be following me in my life pretty soon. Hanging like pictures in my room that have just been like, I'm about to have a bunch of cameras in my life following my every step and intruding into my life in a way that I asked for, not complaining, but I keep having this like thought of like, oh my God, I gotta get new clothes. I gotta get my nails done. I have to get my hair done. I have to clean, I have to like organize those things. I have to clean my closet. And I'm just like, no, that's why you have. You're having cameras come into your life is to show your real life. And I'm not going to freak myself out about like having to make my life look perfect. Like it's just going to be what it is. And that'll be, you know, I just, that's what my life is. I'm not like a bad person because my bed isn't I don't change my duvet every... How often do you change your duvet, Noah?
Probably at the end of the season.
Really?
Yeah, my duvet, I don't really change it because I have a sheet that I use in between myself and the blanket.
What about if... Do you ever have sex on top of the duvet?
Yeah, I guess if we do, but it's still just our duvet. Nobody else uses it.
Yeah. Okay, good. I feel like this need to do my duvet every like week. And
no, it's so hard to put it on.
It is so hard. I sweat and I like, it's a workout to change a duvet. And I do the ones that like I tie it on the inside on the corners. There's like little ties so that it stays on the corners. It's exhausting. I always feel like really beat up by the end of the time I change my duvet. And I just have so many clothes to go through in my closet that I want to get rid of. And I don't even know where, I mean, I guess you just take them to Goodwill or wherever, but they don't even want your clothes anymore. Like, I feel like Goodwill is just like, we get it. You've all Marie Kondo'd. We don't want your shit. But maybe they do. I don't know. It was so funny. Like, I'm having this camera crew come into my life and they're like, write down a list of all the restaurants and stores and activities you do. And Andrew and I are looking at each other like, we don't do anything. I don't go anywhere. I just like don't go to restaurants. I mean, it's COVID and I don't have many friends here. I mean, I feel like restaurants are places you go, or at least I used to go to them to perform comedy, and then we would eat at the restaurant to like meet up with friends in New York. But like, I don't know. I just don't have that many. I got to get more friends here. But I don't really want any. I don't have time for more friends. And yeah, so I'm just, Andrew's enough. We are having a lot of fun, I have to say, Andrew and I, with his new character, The Edge. It's like, we really needed it in our relationship. I needed a new thing that he does that makes me giggle nonstop. And it was, we're going to get to it today later on in our segment collection of Kiz. Because The Edge, this comedian character that Andrew has taken on, is making fun of comedians who think they're edgy and who, you know, present this persona of like, I'm just going to tell it like it is and I'm not scared and I'm doing things differently. And it's based off of, you know, probably one comic in particular. But Andrew's not the best at really specific impressions. But he's good at capturing an essence. So it's actually protecting us from being too obvious who we're mocking. But then now it's kind of, and is it wrong to mock in this way? Probably. Like, I don't like to put out negativity like this of like making fun of someone kind of behind their back in a, you know, sneaky way. You know, I have a lot of comedians sliding into my DMs being like, who is this about? And I'm like, you know it, who it's, we all know who it's about, or like the kind of person it's about. But what it's, what I'm really calling out with Edge, the comedian that we've named Edge, is comedians that, like, all of comedy, all of stand-up is, not all of it, but a lot of stand-up is deception and trickery and audiences thinking that they are making a choice to laugh when really you're not. There's, comedians are doing magic tricks that make you think they're funny and convince you to like them when you otherwise, based solely on the material, if you read it off a page, you wouldn't think it was funny at all. Or maybe would. But you know, what is performance? That's performance, is like putting on a spectacle and like, look over here instead of here. And like, it's all theatrics. It's all WWE, whatever it is. Like, it's okay that some comedians are completely, you know, fabricating this experience on stage that makes you think they're being so honest and like, they're just telling it like it is. The thing I'm trying to bring awareness to is I want the comic consumer to be more savvy. I want to use this character, The Edge, or Edge, sorry. The Edge is, you know, in you two. I want to use Edge to let my audience know not to be fooled by the tricks that they're doing. So I, as the consumer of Edge behind the camera, I often will say the things, I'm a fan of Edge. I play a fan of Edge, and I ask him questions, and I go like, dude, can you tackle this subject? Like, just tell. And then Andrew and I have concocted a way that it's like a back and forth between the two of us that I hope lets audiences be more savvy consumers of stand-up comedy and actually like good stuff. And when I say like good stuff, I mean my idea of what is good. Norm MacDonald is good. Norm MacDonald doesn't care what you think. He honestly doesn't. And that is good stand-up comedy. He is not trying, you know, I'm sure there was some part of him that wanted to kill. But you watch these clips that everyone's posting over and over after, you know, it was announced that he died to cancer, a long battle. He even had a joke about battling cancer. He lost his life to cancer, and at 61, so young, and all these people are posting clips of him, and he truly was, you know, he's a comics comic. Every comedian loves Norm MacDonald. Like, I almost wanted to write a tweet yesterday that was like, reach out to the middle-aged white man in your life, because they all are truly in love with Norm MacDonald. I have never met a guy my age who is good, has a good sense of humor, who didn't love Norm MacDonald more than his own fucking father. More than, you know, it's like Norm MacDonald is a god to mostly male, you know, and I'm speaking of, you know, I'm friends with a lot of male comedians. And Norm MacDonald is the top tier. And in going over, you know, his stand-up and looking at all the clips, he was, because he didn't give a fuck. He didn't care what anyone thought. He wasn't worrying about offending anyone. He wasn't trying to offend anyone, but he was just doing, you could just tell he was like actually doing what the Edge comedian says he's doing, which is like, I'm just going to be real, man. I'm just going to say it. Norm didn't have to say that he was just going to say it. Norm didn't have to go, I can't. I don't even want to say it. I can't. Like, these are the tricks that these guys employ to make you think that they are edgy. So this is what happens. And I've been susceptible to it too, especially at a young age. I didn't know the ins and outs of stand-up comedy, and I didn't know all the magic tricks that happen that make audiences like you, all the devices you can use to make audiences laugh harder than they would if you didn't use those devices. Using the F word. The F word is the number one tool to make people laugh, because comedy is shocking. Comedy is surprise. That's one of the best Norm MacDonald lines, is like, comedy is, laughter is like the best reaction you can get as a comedian is to surprise the audience. And what better surprise than telling a joke that doesn't get a laugh? So like that, it was something like that. Like, he says, when I don't get laughter, that's the biggest surprise, that they think a joke is coming and they don't get one. So he did like anti-comedy, you know. Classic examples of that are his Bob Saget roast set, in which he did just all like puns and just really bad jokes. And, you know, and he did it. That was the joke, was that the jokes were so bad. And, you know, he was just someone actually doing the things that all these edgy comics think they're doing. And I've done it too before. And you know what? I've done things on stage where I go, I don't think I should say this. And then the audience is like, say it. And then I'm like, okay, let me just say, if you see me do that, it is actually a real moment. It is not a one I planted in that I do every time I do that joke. Because this is what these comics do. These edgy comics, they plant in these moments of, listen, I don't even think I should say this. I don't know. And then the crowd goes, say it. Now, psychologically, when you are an audience member going, say it, please. Not only do you think if they do say it, it's special for you, which means you're going to like it more despite what it is. It's already lowered the bar, because you're already invested. Number two, you are now a part of them saying it. So you have, not only are they going to say something that they weren't going to say, so it's special, which it's not, because they always say that they're not going to say it because they know you're going to go say it. Okay. So you think it's special subconsciously. You also think you've had a part in making it special. So you are 40% more likely to laugh at this joke than if he didn't say those things beforehand. Other things that they do, Oh my God. I just like, and I'm doing it right now, but this is sincere. Like, I can't, I don't even want to, I discovered something over the weekend. We talked about coying, you know, last week on the show. I talked about, I worked with a comedian named Joe Coy who would get standing ovations for every show. And by the end of the week, I realized that if you wait long enough, the audience will stand up. Let's say, like, if you had a good enough set, they're not going to give you a standing O if they didn't enjoy themselves. But if you had a 80% good set, people are going to stand up. And if you wait long enough and go, oh, my God, no, really? Oh, my God. We've all been susceptible to one person standing. And then we go, I guess I have to stand up, too. And we all stand. You'll get a standing ovation if you wait long enough and you don't leave the stage. So that is what I call coying, because I saw Joe Coy do it 7 shows in a row. And then he would come up to me and go, I can't believe it. I got my 7th standing ovation. Like, oh my God. Like, he was counting. Joe Coy is hilarious. There's no question about it. But that is a thing he did. There's also no question about that. Do a lot of comedians do that? Probably. Have I seen a lot of comedians do it? No. Because I didn't work with, you know, since a certain point in my life, I didn't see a lot of comedians close out shows. And did I coy this past weekend? I did. Did it, was it on purpose? No. I had to wait because I wanted to thank people. I didn't get a chance to thank everyone for coming and like spending money. And I usually want to say that statement. So at the end of my show, I was like, thank you guys for coming. And I was just like, and if you got a babysitter tonight, whatever you did, like, and I kept like going. So I wait, like, I wasn't waiting for them to stand, but then they all stood because one guy did and then another guy did. And then I got a standing O because I stood there long enough. So I coyed. There's a new type of coying that I witnessed this weekend from a comedian who I loathe their practices on stage. I think they have the same following Trump has. I think they have the same brain that Trump has. I think they probably stand for the same things Trump does. Whether or not you agree with Trump, that's a whole nother story. This person, I think whatever brain stuff Trump has, narcissism, grandiose sense of self, which I think fits into narcissism, this person has. So this person, I saw a clip of them being like walking on stage on Instagram, and I noticed that they do a slight, it's another way to get a, not a standing ovation. What's an ovation before you even perform, where people stand up as you walk in? Oh, that's a new level. They're so excited to see what you haven't even done yet that they're going to, and listen, I've done that before when a band comes out and I'm so excited I stand up, you know, we've all done that. They weren't standing when this person first came out, but what did they do to get them to stand? I'll tell you, they subtly motioned for them to stand. I have the footage. I've slowed it down. I saw it once and I screen recorded it immediately because I go, oh my God, we got a new type of coy. And it's when they subtly do this. Like they're waving and then they do this. They do a sweeping arm of like, say you were to say someone like, get up, like, come on, get up, get up. You know, you move your hand about 2 feet from your waist to your above your head, right? You do a sweeping up. Your palm is up. This isn't a like Hitler, like, you know, palm down, although this person would probably be down to make those motions as well if you ask me. But this is a up gesture. It's so subtle, but it is so, and it's so fast that no one could ever accuse this person of doing that. They go, I wasn't telling them to get up. I was just going, look at you. But if you go, look at you, you kind of go with both hands. You go, oh my God, look at you. And it's an outward motion of, oh my God, with both hands out. It is not in front of you going up, up with one hand. So this person waves, does a slight up, waves on this side, slight up. Guess what they all do without knowing that they're being told to get up? They all get up. And it's like, you know, it's Pavlov's dogs of like, and I just want comedian fans to be more aware of these tricks that make you think you like this person. You know, it's like the classic one I always go to that blows my mind, that if you ask someone to do a favor for you that is within reaching, that you could do yourself very easily. A cup is right across the table and you're sitting with a friend and you go, could you grab that glass for me? They'll like you more after they grab the glass because they don't want to think they're your bitch. So they will convince themselves, I know she could grab that, but I wanted to get it because I like her. And they'll tune up their likeness of you in their head so that it will convince them that they're not a bitch. And so by making them your bitch, you will get them to actually like you more. And it's, oh my God, I slowed down this footage. Because Anya goes, I didn't see it. And I go, no, let's go back. I watched it like the Zapruder film. I was analyzing it like 9/11 footage. I go, they walk out, look at that. Now watch the arm go. And I go, that is not a palm. That's, and everyone's probably listening to this being like, Nikki, you're insane. I'm just fascinated by the tricks comedians employ because the masses have become so stupid and so susceptible to advertising and subliminal messages that I'm now seeing, like, you know, even Chappelle does a thing. Chappelle can do whatever the fuck he wants because he's proven himself he doesn't need any gimmick. But does he have one? Yes. Do I have some? Probably. I probably don't even know that I have some, because that's the thing. A lot of these comics, they probably don't even know that they're doing the things because they get a positive reaction the one time they do it and then they keep doing it. It's like evolution. You know, they don't, you know, an octopus doesn't learn how to look like the sand and go, I should look like the sand more. It's like one day it looked like the sand and it goes, well, whatever I did yesterday worked for me to survive. I'll do that. You know, it's subconscious. So I'm sure I do things, but Chappelle does a thing where he knocks the mic on his leg. That's what he does when he laughs. He goes, and whenever a comedian laughs after the joke, you know, laughter is contagious. Someone's enjoyment is contagious. So that's also a way to tell the audience, laugh now. And it's a trick. And I love Chappelle, but he'll do that. He'll knock as soon as he could go on stage and say, pretty much at this point, he could say whatever he wants. And if he knocks his mic on his leg, and every comedian knows this, I'm not like the Hannibal Buress, Bill Cosbying of this trick. Everyone knows Chappelle knocks, and every comic does this too. They now knock the mic on their leg. Oh, that was a lot about, and I'm sure I made some enemies in that, but it's just true. And let me just say, blanket statement, I do these things too. I pepper in fucks all over my set when my jokes aren't strong enough because I know the word fuck will get more of a reaction than if it doesn't. I told Andrew he can't do a eating ass joke in front of me because eating ass is such a funny, like, I don't, my joke isn't just about like eating ass and that's all I say and everyone laughs and it's like, oh my God, she said eating ass. But the word eating ass is so funny and so surprised. It's not even funny. It's surprising that people laugh out of uncomfortableness, that I said, Andrew, can you not do an eating ass bit before me because you've broken the eating ass seal. So when they hear eating ass again, not that my jokes won't still work because it's a different approach to eating ass or different ideas about it. But, you know, it's like someone lighting your cigarette for you. Like if you're a smoker, and sometimes Andrew will crack my Zevias open. I love a Zevia soda. Sometimes he's like, here you go, buddy. He cracks it open. I go, no, part of it for me is cracking it open. That's my experience. So him mentioning eating ass before me on stage, it's popping my Zevia soda. It's lighting my cigarette before. I can still do the joke. I can still smoke the cigarette. I can still drink the drink. Will the audience enjoy it as much as if it wasn't cracked already? No, they won't. And these are all psychological tricks that comedians employ. Let's get Edge in here. Andrew! Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they're all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're like me and you struggle with FOMO and also FOGO, which is fear of going out, then you might need therapy because it has really helped me to talk to a therapist about my social anxiety and how that manifests for me. It looks different than other people. I just feel guilty all the time if I don't do things and then I dread doing them. But it's something that I've learned to accept and just embrace about myself and to forgive myself and to like myself about it. If you are also on a journey to appreciating yourself and accepting yourself, can I recommend therapy? It is so helpful to talk to someone who is not going to judge you, who has heard it all. BetterHelp is the way to start because it's all online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like them and it doesn't go well, you just switch. You don't even have to like talk to them about it. That's the beauty of BetterHelp. It is for people with social anxiety. So if you struggle with social anxiety, find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Nikki Glaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Nikki Glaser.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week pick on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Oh, oh, I love it. Andrew, welcome to the show. I know I was making those noises just now because Noah was talking about getting one of those little hooks that for dental
the metal hooks.
The
metal ones?
Yeah, the ones that they use to scrape plaque. I started using those too. I use like any old tool I can get, but behind my lower teeth, there's buildup of plaque sometimes that I can't get. And the plaque is bad not for your teeth, but for your gums because it builds up and it pushes your gums down and it will lead to gum disease because it'll expose more of the root of your tooth. And so I always crack those off, big chunks of it. Oh, it's satisfying. Noah, you're into that too. Because floss, that is what floss is supposed to be getting.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get it sometimes.
I do like those floss sticks. And then I end up chewing on them. Sometimes I'll chew on them before I even use them. I just love to chew on plastic.
I was
going to
say, I don't
plastic.
Even think you use them for the flossing part.
Yeah, I get into it for the chew. No, I floss. I floss probably once every 5 days, maybe.
That's not floss. That's not, I. You can't say I floss.
And I'm flossing. Look at me, though. Baby blue on baby blue was flossing.
I mean, your outfit, those are good colors together. You've got like a you know, green, aquamarine green, tealish type short with a light blue sweatshirt. I would never put those two together. That's a good color combo.
I look like a Jimmy Buffett concert.
You look like, the like when you look at a bird's eye view of
Earth?
You know, no, like the Bahamas. And the water is like that aqua blue, but then also that, like the types of blue that's like coming off the sand is like what you got going.
Oh, it'd be great to maybe get some tackle, go fishing inside my outfit.
Robert Earl Keen last night, who we went to go see, that guy reminded me of Jimmy Buffett.
I love him. He's Jimmy Buffett if Buffett grew up in Texas instead of Florida.
Yeah, but he had a lot of Buffett-y vibes of like, I mean, his song is like Feeling Good Again. And that's like, it reminded me so much of Jimmy Buffett of like, Feeling Good Again. You guys got to listen to that song. That song's a good song.
It makes me so happy.
And then I like the Gringo Honeymoon.
Gringo Honeymoon.
And then I like the Coming Home Again.
I'm Coming Home.
Coming Home and the Feeling Good Again sound very similar. I have to say at some point all the songs started sounding the same. But that's just, you know, Taylor Swift fan, people who don't know Taylor Swift often say that about her. I mean, it's, you know, it's a person's voice.
I felt like he tried to switch it up as much as he can.
Right.
While staying within the same genre. There were like a couple songs, especially when his guitarist did that lead, like Braveheart kind of feel song.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's just, we were saying last night how American he is without feeling like that Trump-y. Patriotic American, but like American where you just, I don't know, you just feel proud to
he
be
was
from
the
heartland, I guess.
Quintessential, like Andrew Collin kind of singer,
he's right up there. I mean, he's like a Tom Petty feel.
My dad never even heard of him.
Really?
Yeah, which shocked me because he seemed like such a guy my dad would like.
I think because he's very Texas. Like he's
and
known
everyone
for
at
Texas.
That concert was like, this person should be friends with my dad. They all were like my dad's age. And then us.
Did you tell your dad to listen to him? I would think he would.
Yeah,
like
he'll
him.
Be into him. I got really screwed yesterday on Harry Styles tickets. He's coming tonight. And we were going to go, and I found some on Craigslist that were, like, too good to be true. And I go, why are these so cheap to the guy? I was, you know, texting with him off Craigslist. And he goes, my date canceled. I want to get rid of him. I've dealt with so many people who are just, like, not getting back to me. I'm sick of it. And I go, you know what? $50 a ticket for tickets that should be $400 a piece. This guy is either going to scam me or I'm going to get a really good deal. And I got scammed.
Yeah.
I sent him $100, which I couldn't even figure out how to do. I had to like, Apple Pay was being so annoying. And I was like, can you do PayPal or Venmo? He's like, no. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I figured out PayPal or Apple Pay.
Can we find this guy? I feel like, why? Why?
Well, I mean, he gave me an email, but it was just a fake Gmail he made.
Okay. If you're a listener and you know how to track, so I want to track this guy.
Because
he straight up stole him. He stole from you.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, he stole money from you?
Yeah, I sent him $100 for these tickets, and he sent me like a picture of the tickets. And you know, I it was $100 to learn a lesson. Like I would have learned that lesson. I know I say that a lot, but like I either was going to get a really good deal from a guy that just wanted to get rid of some tickets, which does happen.
Yeah, you went for it. And I like that you went for it, but
it was $100 lesson to learn, which is fine. And I got this story out of it, which isn't a great story. I wish something else
So he just showed you like photo of tickets in his hand?
Yeah, he sent me screenshots of the digital ticket.
Okay. And so then he would have to send you a digital ticket through email?
Yeah, which I was communicating with other people that were actually legitimate because they were asking like, you know, $250 a ticket for like worse seats. And they showed me the same kind of ticket. So it was like, it seemed to be what they show. I don't know how this stuff
God,
works.
God, I want to kill this guy. He's smart to do 100 too, because he's going to get multiple. He'll probably get 10, 15 suckers.
Yeah. You know what? Guess what? Part of me goes, he's willing to put in all that work.
And I wonder if it's Harry Styles. Maybe it's Harry himself.
I really want to go see Harry Styles, though. I saw some like footage of his. He wears like sequined.
Yeah. Robert O'Keefe wore black on black on black.
He was wearing an outfit that you were like, where's that shirt from? Like you're going to dress like that guy at some point.
He just looked like he was wearing Lululemon. I love when older rock stars just end up dressing like old guys. I mean, he still looked kind of cool, but I just like when they lean into.
No, his whole band was filled with dorks. They were all dorks.
You thought so?
100%.
The violinist I thought was cool
dork.
As shit. What?
They're all accomplished musicians, but they're dorks.
You should have got closer to the violinist. He was hot. He was hot.
Cowboy hat on.
I know, but he was a real cowboy. He's from Texas.
No one needs to wear a cowboy hat. It's a little bit kuh, but if you like it, wear it. I don't think it's actually kuh, but they were they're all like kind of like the one guy was trying to look like Lindsey Buckingham. He was amazing, the lead guitarist, but he had like a bandana on, and they're all dorks. And I say that with love. I'm a dork too.
Yeah, like, yeah. I just feel like I got closer to the stage, because I got pretty close for a couple songs. The violinist was a good looking man. Like, he had this like weird little like Johnny Depp goatee, and he looked very manly. Like,
yeah,
I like
was in
a man.
Shadows all night. I couldn't really see him. All I saw was that big hat, and he was hiding underneath it.
Yeah, I didn't. I couldn't see him either until I got closer, and I was like, man, that violinist is a man. You never hear that, like, that violinist, boy, he's got a nice...
Yeah, we were talking about how, like, a violinist, like, his parents just... No boy chooses the violin as, like, a young age. Of, like, I want to play... I want a violin, mom and dad. Like, it's just something his parents... Or it's so the funny. Schools, you know, the school district.
Yeah, actors and musicians at one time were nerd. They were the dorks in your high school that were in theater or in the band. And everyone's like, look at this fucking loser in the band. And that fucking loser became Pharrell. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, because you have to be obsessed with it so much. You got to put those hours in. People just think talent happens.
Or just get auto-tune and then you're fine. We watched that special on auto-tune on, what's his name? The Sapiosexual? Sapiosexual?
Mark Ronson.
Yeah.
He does a series of documentaries on, I guess, is it Netflix or HBO?
I think so. I think it's on Netflix.
And yeah, I did one on auto-tune, and it was like talking about how, you know, everyone has like a song in their heart, but because so many people can't sing, they don't get to like release it. And now auto-tune allows people to be able to like have a song in their heart.
Do you think it's cheating?
No, because I think that everyone, who cares? It's modulation of a sound. I mean, like, so is it cheating to pluck a string and have that make a sound that you didn't make from your body?
I know. It's just interesting because, like, let's say you were playing a sport and you just had a better, like a 9-iron that hit it for you. You know what I mean?
What if, like, when you hit it, it was like, like, it sounded like,
and let me buy you a drink.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, T-Pain, they found out years later he could sing unbelievably when he finally did that Tiny Desk on NPR.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like unbelievable singer.
I don't hate auto-tune. I mean, it always sounds, it sounds like auto-tune. And I know, and by the way, like, most artists, their voices are layered like 10 times on like a track where you think it's just their solo voice.
Yes.
There's few singers that really can nail it. Oh my God. There's
Mastimo.
Wait, what is it? This is karaoke mode. This is Mastimo. This is professional mode.
I saw some comments where they go, when Nikki sings, Andrew sings. And it's so annoying when he just has to sing with her. I'm like, oh, Jesus, these people are so sad. But anyways,
nailed it.
Back to what do you think about steroids in baseball? Do you think that's fine? Because I feel like it's kind of a similar vein, like you're improving.
What do you feel about it?
Ooh, throwing it back.
I mean, I just don't care.
I think
it's bad for people's health. Auto-tune isn't making someone have like roid rage and, you know, have no balls or whatever happens when you like, it affects your health.
Yeah.
And so if someone's doing steroids and then other people are like, well, now I have to do them. But a lot of things impact your health that will make you a better performer.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think at some point you have to have accountability. But if you're like a 15-year-old and you're doing steroids
But I guess, like, what if someone has more time? What if someone, a baseball player or a basketball player, so someone who needs to practice has kids and they're like, I got to spend time with my kids. And another person's like, I don't have kids. And it's like, you have performance enhancing life where you don't have kids. So you have more time. I don't get to have that. Like, where do we draw the line of like.
And what's the drug? Like, why? Like, you're allowed to take protein. You're allowed to take creatine. Like, there's a line of like. Oh, but you could take.
I think there is a line. They've studied
that they snort and they. I actually put steroids in my roommate's butt in college. Oh, I probably. That's fine.
Yeah. What was he doing?
A sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
very pretty
common.
Nuts. I actually took steroids on accident. I told you that. Remember?
What?
He had androstenedione, which is what Mark McGwire took back in the day. By the way, steroids saved baseball. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, home run race.
Oh my God.
They both
that
were
was happening here, dude.
Yeah.
That was wild when that was happening here.
So he had Andro, which Mark McGwire was on. And he put it, I was so depressed my freshman year.
Did you just think it was labeled your name?
It was in the vitamin.
You're like, it's Andro. I should take it.
Man, this bottle can't even say my name right. I'm not alone.
You're like, this bottle spells my name the way I say it in my head.
Andrew Stein? It's another Jew that... Does sound like a Jewish guy that I should. That's a good name. So I end up, it was in the vitamin drawer or a vitamin jar.
Oh, right.
So I'm taking vitamins and feeling even worse because I'm taking steroids, but I'm not lifting.
What
so
vitamins? What you just thought they were vitamins?
Like multivitamins, I thought he had, but he put them, I don't know why he was hiding them in our
own
house.
You're like that Kenny versus Benny episode. If you guys don't know Kenny versus Benny, they're these two Canadian like best friends who would have competitions. Google Kenny versus Benny, and they have one where every episode they would like see who could do something better.
Yeah.
And whoever was the loser would have some humiliation at the end of it. And they did this one where it was like, who could release the biggest fart.
Yes.
And they had these little machines next to their that they would gauge how much like fart gas came out, and whoever blew the biggest fart by the end of the 24-hour period, 48-hour, whatever it was. It's so funny because one of them's evil and does tricks and like tries to cheat to win, and the other's like this, like Spencer is like really sincere, sweet boy, and his best friend Kenny is this like diabolical little you know, scamp who will do anything, and he's gross, and they're both trying to have this fart competition. So Kenny makes this like this chili, and he starts blowing air. He sticks a tube up his ass and starts blowing air up there, and then just releasing these gigantic farts. But they're not actually farts that are registering on the scale because they're just air, so they don't count.
It's cheating, though. That's steroids.
No. It doesn't count. It doesn't count towards his score.
Oh.
But Spenny doesn't know. Spenny just hears these farts going off and is like, "What the fuck?" But they're not real farts. They're just air that he's putting up his butt. So Spencer goes, "It must be this chili Kenny made." Well, Kenny knows that Spencer's going to be like, why is these farts going off? But it's just him blowing air up his butt through a tube, which doesn't count, right? So Spenny then goes, I'm going to eat some of his chili, which is also cheating because he steals Kenny's chili. But what he doesn't know is Kenny put so much Beano in the chili, which is makes you not fart. So Spencer goes from like farting a lot, you know, not as much as Kenny with the tube up his ass, making fake ones, to not farting at all. And he's like, I don't understand why they won't come out. And he's eating all this broccoli and like coniferous, like, you know, vegetables so he can make gas. And he can't fart because Kenny put Beano in the... It's such a great show, Kenny versus Benny. What I wanted to say about steroids is what I was just talking at the top of the show about what inspired Edge, the comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Because we came up with this character, Edge. You have brought this character to life that is mocking comedians that use tricks, which I would argue are I'm trying to bring to light that every comedian, like comedians that people love, don't deserve the amount of attention they're getting because they're using tricks that aren't sincere effort and real work to manipulate crowds into thinking they're funnier than they are. Do you think that's also, that's why I'm calling it out, is because I feel like it's not fair. And I want the crowd to know that they're being tricked.
I just think like there's a level of respect and like a level of like, whoa, this guy, he doesn't give a fuck, zero fucks given. But when you talk about things that are edgy or whatever in front of a crowd, before you even say the punchline, they're already ready to laugh because you're bringing up something that's taboo.
So, yeah, they're invested because you're going to go somewhere and they're like, oh my God, we're special. He's going to share something with us that he doesn't, that he's he might lose everything because of this, when really what he's saying is not edgy at all.
Not edgy at all. It's way, I mean, but then there are comics that will talk about edgy things.
Norm MacDonald.
Yes.
Did you see the joke I just posted?
No.
Oh my God. Can I just play this, Norm? This is Edge. You want to talk about what edgy is? Norm MacDonald doing this joke is Edge.
Someone had a story about Norm MacDonald. He goes, he crushed the first night. I worked a weekend with him.
Oh, yeah.
The next night he opened up. He goes, I asked for a Sprite. They offered me a slice. And he did an hour on slice, the drink.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked the whole 95% of the audience the day after crushing, maybe after a day after a crushing, you can.
Was it a crush soda? Yeah.
No, but maybe the day after like crushing, he's like, all right, I'm great. I can now do slice.
He just would do what he wanted.
I know. I know. That is Edge.
That's Edge. These guys present like they're doing what they want, but what they're doing is giving you, they're not actually doing what they want. They're using tricks. They're doing steroids, and we need to bring it out. Like I talked about the person that I slowed down the footage of them subtly telling the crowd to get on their feet. That is some fucked. That is like subliminal. I mean,
you're an orchestrator.
What's it called?
A conductor. They're an audience conductor.
It was so gratifying to watch it with everyone and go, "Do you see what they did?" And everyone goes, "No." And I go, "Hold on, let me slow down the footage and have it be able to confirm."
It was wild.
Egregious.
It felt like a conspiracy theory video. Never.
It's Building 7. And it did happen. Okay, so listen to, this is a clip that Robin Tran 04 posted, one of my favorite comedians that posts a lot of stuff, posted of Norm MacDonald on a podcast. And so this is Nick Swartzen and Norm MacDonald. He's doing reading about the news. So this is like a news headline. And this is what he says. And this is Edge.
Hey, for the ninth consecutive year, Nick, JetBlue Airline ranked first for satisfaction among all North American airlines. But you know what ranked least in satisfaction? 9/11 Airlines. What a terrible name for an airline. It reminds me of that tragedy. Oh, 9/11. Don't laugh at 9/11. I try to tell them not to laugh. Adam. I know. I walked through blood and bones in the streets of Manhattan.
Blood and bones.
Find my brother.
Jesus.
Yeah, he was in northern Canada.
My favorite part is it reminds me of that tragedy. Yeah. Like it was a totally separate. I mean, that joke, listen, that's Edge because he wasn't doing the joke to offend anyone. It's just a dumb joke.
Yes.
You know, it reminds
me.
A
lot of his stuff was just so simple.
Yes.
Yet so brilliant in his simplicity.
That wasn't trying to offend. People could go, oh, he's doing a 9/11 joke. It was trying to test the boundaries. It wasn't. He was just saying what he thought was funny. Yeah. It wasn't about.
Yeah. Sometimes I think, do we do edge because we curse or we talk about
no,
sex?
No, I do edge sometimes.
Yeah, I guess.
We're all susceptible to it because we subliminally, these things work and we don't go, oh, that worked. I just
never pick a topic. Because I know it's going to get a reaction.
And I never think that way.
I never think that way.
People think I do that because I talk about sex and stuff. Yeah. But I'm like, no, it's just what I'm interested in. Yes. I don't go there. I don't talk about ass eating because I know people are going to go, ooh, she's the only one who will go there. I'm talking about it because it's interesting.
And I don't do, like, we don't do Trump. Like, we could have done a Trump joke this last 4 years. Neither one of us wrote a Trump bit. Like,
but yeah, I mean, yeah,
I mean, I just
that's
wasn't
me avoiding being edgy. Let's get to the news.
We both edge in bed, though. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's all I do.
You heard it here first.
I hope you had a great time. We had a great time last night at a concert at Robert Earl Keane, who actually sounds like a Southern general of a, what did you say, of a statue we should have took down years
Robert
ago.
Robert Earl Keane sounds like, oh, we're getting together at dawn to take down that Robert Earl Keane statue in the square.
It's got to be so fun to take down a statue.
Yeah.
Just because it's supposed to be there forever and you're like, no, bitch, later.
Yeah. And it's kind of a little bit anticlimactic because it kind of just goes.
Oh, yeah, that's Saddam like one. Over. The Saddam one was just like.
Gently.
Everyone's like, the big reveal. Yeah.
And it's just like. You want it to like. And like his head to shatter on the ground.
Let's take down Mount Rushmore. That'd be fun.
I mean, that thing is, it's tiny.
It's not that tiny.
Tinier than you think. You think it's going
to
be
Mona
like,
Lisa's tiny.
Yeah, that shit's tiny.
Did you see that on
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. What a
That's
fuck,
why I love that Lonely Island song.
What did they say?
Mona Lisa, you're an overrated piece of shit. With your dead shark eyes and your, it goes, you look like you're, in a smile, in a smirk like you're hiding a dick. Looks like she's hiding a dick. Looks like a garbage pail kid. They're like, and Da Vinci must have sucked about 100. Wait, and Da Vinci must. Oh, I got to look up the lyrics because that is one of the funniest songs they do. A song.
It does follow you around the room, which is kind of cool. Like the eyes will follow you wherever you go in the room.
That's for a lot of things.
The Sistine Chapel, which I don't know if that's in the same. No, that's different. That's in Rome. That is huge and unbelievable.
Yeah, and he did that. I don't think he did it upside down. I think he actually did it. Maybe he did. I think there's like a
misconception. I heard they turned the whole building over. It was the floor, and then they just flipped it.
So he goes, that's Mona Lisa, you're an overrated piece of shit with your terrible style and your dead shark eyes and a smirk like you're hiding a dick. What the fuck is this garbage? Mona Lisa, the original basic bitch, traveled thousands of miles to see your beautiful smile. Talk about a bait and switch, you ugly. It's just, the whole thing is like, I landed. Then they just talk about all these different, he goes, and Da Vinci must have sucked an art historian's dick to get this girl who looked like uncooked bread at the top of the all-time list of paintings. Mona Lisa. It's just like, it's one of my favorite songs.
Is that from one of their movies or just one of their album?
That's from the movie Popstar.
Oh, and it's Popstar's from so
the
great.
Album Popstar. The extended version of Mona Lisa's on that, and it's really worth a listen. Every single lyric's funny.
They're so funny.
Okay, what's the first story?
A new study on multiple orgasms reveals, ooh, edgy, that women experience their first multiple orgasms during self-sexing. Women who report multiple orgasms almost always enjoy a creative combo of extended kissing, hugging, mutual whole body massage, hand jobs, intercourse, oral sex, and other erotic touch. And women said it was easier to work up to multiple solo than with lovers.
Wait, I thought they just were, you just named a bunch of things that you have to do with a partner. Kissing.
With a partner, but solo, you just, it so.
Oh, to achieve multiple orgasm, you have to switch it up a lot with a partner.
Yeah, but like, alone. So when you're alone, they say 6 to 14 minutes a woman can get to multiple, or to their first orgasm, and then with a partner, 30 to 60. Why is it such a big difference when you're, as a woman, like between like when you're alone versus when you're with someone? Why does a guy have to do 40 different kind of moves? Because it is, on a guy's side, I know it sounds like cheesy, but like you just, it can become like a marathon. If it's like 60 minutes is a long time.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
having to try five different, and you get frustrated. I'm not going to lie. And
I think it's, for me at least, I get insecure about telling a guy what he's doing wrong because I don't want to make him feel bad. And so I will put up with a lot of mediocre because it's not like it's bad. But it's and I'm also scared that if I tell him to do something, it still won't be good. And then I'll have to tell him again. And then it will lead to a frustration of like, it will just build up into like, I don't even know what I want. And then I question my own feelings. And then they get mad and they're hurt. Their ego's hurt because they can't figure it out. And they're trying to follow what I'm saying. But I don't even know what I want. And then it becomes about like, well, I don't know what I want. And then I hate myself and I hate them. And it just like, so I think a lot of times I just put up with whatever is going on because I'm so scared of a guy doing what I want him to do and still not being able to get there after guys are always like, just tell me what you want. And sometimes I do and it still doesn't work. And it's not because they failed. It's because I'm just maybe in the wrong headspace.
That's what I was going to ask. I go, when there is open communication and you do feel like there's a dialogue, how much percentage wise does it go from like, you know, if you're saying 60 minutes, can you cut it down to 20? If you are open,
if you let me just have toys.
That's the thing, I think, right? Just let the girl sit on the floor.
And Noah, what do you have multiples?
Okay, yes. I think there's a couple of things, though, because if you look more in the article, it says how, like, most women just keep, like, stimulation after the first orgasm, and that helps them reach multiple. And, like, it's very seldom that women will wait, like, 5 minutes and then have another one. So I think like for me, I know what I'm feeling and I also have to have a very clear mind. So with all the things that you were saying, Nikki, that go through your head, I could never even have an orgasm if all of that was in there. So yeah, I think it's just easier
and so
for
many
us.
Girls just from penetration, it doesn't happen. You have to have kind of
so right about like too many when you're alone, you don't have as many, you're not worrying about someone else's.
I could just focus.
You don't have to, you're only worried about yourself. You're not worried about another person's enjoyment, taking care of their feelings. And especially as someone who's insecure and has dealt with like, you know, partners that haven't been that understanding of, like, I've just dealt with guys being frustrated when I tell them what to do, and then they do it, and then it still doesn't work. Or me telling them what to do, and they're like, just be patient, because I can be pretty hasty and be like,
if it's
just
like
do this. I just know, like, let's just cut to it. And they're like, hold on, I'm going. And it's just like, Okay. Sorry, I told you to turn right up here when there's, it's like telling a guy to go like, you should get in the right turn lane. They're like, I know. Yeah. I'm gonna, like, I've been a driver before and someone goes, you want to get in the right lane? And I go, I know, I'm going to. I don't need to right now. And you get upset with them. And so it's just, there's a lot of, you just have to be very, I have to be in a position where I know the guy isn't going to get mad at me about being the passenger seat driver of my own fucking body car. God forbid. I give you directions on how to work my car. But it's, I think that's, and I think when that's I have multiples, point, you're right. I just go straight. I just keep it going.
Well,
and
then the guy has to stay hard, probably, or he just does something else afterwards.
Yeah, but the guy like has, and a lot of times guys don't understand what multiple orgasms are. So they don't even know how to handle what that would look like. So when they give you an orgasm, they stop, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever they're doing probably to like, cause it's over. You've just gone like, oh my God. Ah! And then they like, everything slows down. And in order to have multiples, women know that you got to just keep going off of that. Like, you can't slow down. You got to keep going.
Most guys don't keep going. Like, after, like, a guy comes, he just comes, and then he's, like, a lump of coal.
Yes. And they think that we're the same. Same, that they, that we don't need to keep going. But in order to achieve multiples, like you just said in the article, it's – and I often am after I come. I'm like, that was so exhausting and took so much out of me to come once. I don't want to do it again, even though I know I could. So I like put the thing down or whatever I'm using. But if I want to have multiples where I'm like, I got more in me, I have to persevere. Even if I don't, sometimes I'm like, I can't, I don't want to again. But on the other side of that are better ones. And I have to like, keep
so they
going.
Are better. They get like, see, aftershock better. Is better than the initial earthquake.
Well, that's how I squirted was like, I orgasmed once, did it another time. And then I think it was the third one. Unexpectedly, a bucket of water fell out of me and I had no idea what the fuck was happening. And I don't even imagine that it could get better than the first two. I never even had three in a row, I don't think. And I think it was on that third one that it was just like, you're finally loosened up enough that you can just really let her rip.
Yeah, I do think like sometimes if I'm doing hand stuff, like I'm literally afraid I'm like getting carpal tunnel. Like that's how long
then
it's taking.
You need
taking.
To switch hands.
Yeah.
You need to use a toy.
Yeah.
And like literally this is so much easier with a dildo than this with your finger. This is so easy. Oh, you could do it with that one too. You could
Nick,
do it with
he's
your
doing
fucking
baseball
foot.
Signs right now.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Just use toys.
Playing a violin.
Can I go get my box of toys I just got sent?
Yeah. No, I was thinking about what you were saying about like, and then going to Nikki about like worrying about if the other person's having an orgasm. So if a girl takes a long time and I'm like, well, I don't want to come right away. There's a point where like a guy can like hold out orgasming right away, even though he wants to, like he has the feeling. And then if he tucks it away, like puts it away, it's hard to then sometimes
edging.
Get it back.
I think that's called edging.
Well, I am the edge, you know that. But But like when guys stop from like you could pull out and grab like the head of your penis to like not have an orgasm, then it's hard to have an orgasm again. So then the guy ends up not being able to have an orgasm. And then he's probably less into it because he doesn't feel like he'll ever get there. I don't know. It's fucked up.
I'm so sorry I missed all that. Oh. First, there's a knife in this box because I opened the box with a knife.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus, that's old school.
This looks like a sounding tool. Okay, so the first one arrived the other day. I just threw this in. I haven't used it yet. I just charged it. This is, one of the suction things, you know? And I got a new one because all my other ones, like...
Is that a womanizer kind of thing?
Yes, but this has a vibrator on the handle part.
Oh,
and then also has the suction on this part, and I'm very excited about it. This is... Honestly, the most essential tool in my kit. I don't have the box with me, but
it's like the caveman making a wheel.
And then this is this is the thing that I got called a helping head, ultimate BJ helper. It's by Good Head, Doc Johnson, and it's a sleeve and it has massaging soft beads inside, and it's like a silicone sleeve, and it looks small, like the opening looks like about a Sharpie could fit inside of it, but it's obviously expandable. Let me just open it. And you put it around, I mean, I could wear it like an arm cuff. Put it around the penis,
kinda
I guess.
Cool. Yeah.
And you use a ton of lube. And then you use this to just go like this, because it's going to give the right amount of squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
And then use your mouth for the rest of it. So that is exciting. And then I got, this is all from
Alessa.
I got this Quip. This is like Quip toothbrush. And I swear to God, this is almost like a toothbrush. This is for like just clit stimulation. I see it a lot on kink videos, but it's just, it looks like the nub of a toothbrush, but without the bristles.
Yeah.
And it's just for your clit. It's very direct, very small, pointed. I've never even used one of these things, but honestly, I think an electric toothbrush would have done the same. I think an electric toothbrush, if you cut off the bristles, would be the same.
Or just turn it around.
Yeah, yeah. Or even the bristles. I've seen those used too. Okay, and then I got this glass 7-inch purple dildo.
I'd be worried dildo. That would break in my vagina.
No, it's not like it's full. You know, it's not like hollow glass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want to see.
It has like comes with general warts. It looks like.
Yeah, it has bumps all over it. We have 3 minutes left.
So it's in the more segment. Realistic.
Yeah, and it's. I thought it was gonna be bigger, but that's kind of cool. It has like you know things on like little nubs on it.
Good paperweight.
Yeah. Then I got God, they sent me so much. Oh, this is a big one. This is a platinum silicone dildo.
Whoa.
No vibrations, but it's just big and has like a lot of ridges to it. Doesn't have a suction to it, but this is just to get in there. It has a good ridge to it. I mean, that's a nice size.
It's nice to know if we ever lose our keys, we could get into the house.
Oh, it does have suction. What do you mean?
Like bulldoze the door open.
Andrew, what do you think about like a ramming on?
Yeah.
What'd you say, Noah?
Andrew, what do you think about the size of that?
It's intimidating. I could barely get my mouth, my ass around that.
But, you know, the partners that penis. I will use with this is not this big at all.
Yeah.
And yet he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I mean,
and it's not that far off from his penis, actually. That's not that big. I thought it was going to be way bigger and I wanted bigger, but that was the biggest that they had.
I mean, long do you think that is?
Long. I don't want long. I wanted more girth. Long, I don't like it to like hit my cervix.
Yeah.
I want more like. I like round. It doesn't make, I don't need a man's penis. I could be with a woman and still be sexually satisfied because all we need is this. It's not like she's going to feel bad about that she has a vagina and doesn't have this. So men shouldn't be intimidated when women want this.
Yeah,
because it's not
do you
about that. And then I got this thing, which is, I don't know what the fuck this is, but it's called a body pump. And you put it over your vagina and it like pumps up your vagina so it brings all the blood. It's like a penis pump for a vagina.
That's for COVID. It looks like a ventilator.
It does. And you put it over, so it has different settings to put it over your vagina. And like,
you're going to have to pump up to take down old Blueski here.
What do you mean? No, I'm not. That's not the same thing. You have so much to learn, young Andrew. So if Brenna bought this, you would not be happy.
I wouldn't care.
You really wouldn't?
Yeah, whatever.
All right.
Yeah, what do I care?
I think you do care.
I really wouldn't. I mean, I do think that's a strong piece of machinery right there.
I don't think that's big at all. I think that is an average-sized penis. I really do. For an erect penis.
This is 8 inch. This is 7 and it's probably almost 8 inches.
But I'm talking from the, not from the very bottom of
no,
it.
No, like,
from,
yeah, that's eight. That's probably,
Are you doing it based on your own?
I'm like, wait, when I put my dick in my mouth.
Long is not what I'm about. I really, not that I want like a little soup can, but I think I've never been into girth as much. I like a penis with a lot of,
ridges?
Like ridges.
Yeah, like veins.
A lot of things. Yeah, I wouldn't mind a warty dick, to be honest with you. You know how I feel about those. Gives it some bumps. All right, let's take a short break and get back to Why Do I Care? Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which
It's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Why do I care?
I mean, this is a story that I think might give you hope. Ed Sheeran reveals he hired comedian Jimmy Carr as a backing singer for his new album, Equals.
What?
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
It's true.
But can Jimmy Carr sing?
I don't know. Well, does that...
But Jimmy Carr is such a famous British comedian.
Yeah.
That, and such a... that would be like Taylor Swift getting, you know, Ellen to sing on something. Or like, you know, at this point, Tiffany Haddish. Like, I'm not the level of Jimmy Carr yet. And I just don't think Taylor's ever. And I know this is why we like this, is because maybe Taylor will ask me to be on something.
Yeah.
I will, if I can just be across the street at a 7-Eleven from the studio that she's performing in and whisper the background vocals, next to a trash can at 7-Eleven, a mile away, I will be happy enough. Like, there's no way that she's ever going to include me in her life. I've made peace with the fact that she knows I exist.
She knows
I'm a huge fan. If she wanted to be friends, she could be friends, but I don't begrudge her. Like, I wouldn't want to be friends with someone who was that obsessed with me either and who had made comments about me that weren't that nice and now, like, has apologized. And, like, she's a private person. She knows how I feel. She I don't think, wants my help. But I look forward to being friends with her eventually someday down the road. It's not going to be now.
I want to keep my distance. I don't have anything to contribute. Jimmy Carr is not going to make Ed Sheeran's album any better.
No, he's not. But
I'm not going to help it, Taylor Swift, in any way. If I can, sometimes she has a little bit of like at the beginning of Gorgeous, she had Blake Lively's kid be like, gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then, you know, at the beginning of London Boy, she had James Corden interviewing Idris Elba, and they were talking about, you know, I just go riding around my scooter in London town. And then it's like, so like maybe something like that. It could be.
She does say St. Louis in that one song.
Yeah.
So something like that, like a Midwest kind of thing where you're like, I like prairies.
Her salt box house on the coast took her mind off St. Louis.
Yeah.
I love it. And then she also did a song in 'Tis the Damn Season where she says, I'm staying at my parents' house and the road that. And so. I mean, there were a lot of things on that album that really hit home for old Glaze Dog. I felt like I always feel like she's talking to me. I love her so much and would like to be in a romantic relationship with her someday.
What if she did ask you? Would you say yes?
I would do anything she asked.
And
anything.
If you had to sing in front, like if you had to be in a studio with her and sing with her, how would you feel?
Would you kill for someone, you think?
I mean, I am feeling things in my body that don't make sense. It was like the day that I found out I was meeting Dave Matthews. Like, I just couldn't handle it. And, I just want to be – I want to witness her genius. I would love to just see how she works. And I know that I've seen certain things before of how she writes songs and how she comes up with things. Even Anya, you know, my singing-songwriting friend, my prolific singing-songwriting friend, said that when she watched Miss Americana – Anya's become obsessed with The Man, that song. And she says when she's on my live shows, she does a cover of The Man and she says, you know, Nikki got me into Taylor Swift begrudgingly. I didn't, I wasn't into Taylor Swift, but Nikki got me into her and I was blown away by the lyrics of the song. So she did a cover of the song and then she watched Miss Americana and you got to kind of see how that song got written. And Anya had assumed that Taylor and this other guy that she's credited with writing that song with in the liner notes that they, you know, it was like a joint effort. But if you watch Miss Americana, it's all Tay-Tay. And she was like, and it was cool to hear Anya, who's a cynic when it comes to popular music, say, this bitch is good.
Yeah.
And she writes fast. Those lyrics would have taken me months to write, and she came up with them in a second. And it's just like, she's just a genius. And I want to learn from her how I can use her methods of working and thinking about her life and fame and emoting in that way. Like, I'm trying to write songs and I'm trying to figure out how to like access that part of myself. And that's a lot of getting high off my own supply is I was talking to someone about it recently and they told me I should just like, they were saying some artist, who are they saying? Maybe it was Steinbeck. My friend was saying that Steinbeck first wrote really indulgently, like wrote his first book of like, get out everything that makes you feel like sick to yourself about like you're being so like saccharine and like, woe is me and poetic.
Yeah.
And just lean into it as much as possible. Purge that like, lean into the fear of what you will be. And then get it out of your system. And then somewhere afterwards, you'll find a balance of like, it won't be so scary to go to those places. Because right now I'm you know, I've written lyrics and I don't even want to look at them again. Like sometimes I'll write songs, like I'll be on my guitar and I'll find a strumming pattern I like, and I'll start like singing along to it. And I'll like write a song. I wrote a song the other day, like the first couple verses. And it was really good. And I just am so scared to go back and look at it because it's going to be so embarrassing. That's why I like stand up. I never have to look at anything. I just have to like remember how I said it, say it again, and hope that it's not as embarrassing as the last time I said it. And I don't have to like look at it. I don't like looking at things I've done.
Why do you think the lyrics are embarrassing? Because they're too cheesy?
Yeah, they're too like, oh, you think you're so artsy.
Yeah.
But, you know, just singing Slow Dancing in a Burning Room.
And it's like simple.
But when I sing someone else's lyrics and I feel them and I put emotion behind it, like, that didn't feel embarrassing to me because it wasn't like coming from my heart. Like it,
so
even
maybe
though
write,
I feel it so much.
Maybe write like the most simple song. Even that could be artsy, though, in a way, I guess.
But you were doing one of, like, she's an American girl with American hair and American curls. And I was just like, but that I don't want to do. I don't want to do the simple thing either. I really hate doing.
Yeah, but sometimes like that Feeling Good Again or I'm Coming Home. We were talking about how we love that song, those songs. If you look at those lyrics, you're not fucking like, I'm coming home, make up my mind, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
can't love nobody on the telephone. I'm coming home to you.
Yeah. It's
the most simple shit ever. But yeah. You feel something because we've all been there.
I don't know why it's so hard for me. And you know what? This is, Nikki, you're not unique. Everyone probably feels this way. Just get over it and do it. Stop talking about how it's so hard for you. I'm different. Like, I need to take my own advice and just do it.
I mean, look, you know you can write, especially when you made that one video, like, you were able to substitute lyrics, like, take a Taylor song and just change, do one verse.
Yeah.
And just start there.
Yeah.
Because obviously you like how she writes songs.
I do. I love it.
Obviously, you could take her lyrics so easily and switch up the words, and it would sound, maybe it wouldn't be like Taylor, but it would be
I don't think she'd like that. Let's get to Collection of Kids.
Well, I'll never sing for her, so it's fine.
Getting ready for some
I love hearing my friends. That was Kirsten and Taylor and Hala. Let's get to some cuz. I mean, I loved getting to cuz today because I wanted to bring in a special guest for Collection of Kids. Please welcome, just to go over this Collection of Kids with me, a new comedian on the scene. He is just came out of nowhere, and he's really challenging the norms, really just talking from a place of truth, doesn't care, like, who anyone else, like, says he should be. Please welcome to the show, Edge.
Oh, that's good to be here. Or is it? I don't care. What time is it?
Dude, Edge, so you are just blowing up on the socials. Like, you seem to approach comedy from a different perspective. What do you think needs to change about stand-up comedy? What are you doing differently?
A lot of these comics, they just don't hustle, you know?
Right.
They don't believe in, like, hard work outside of, like, it's not about jokes.
Oh.
It's not about premises. It's about numbers. People care about numbers. They care about reach, going viral. What are you going to do that? What are you doing today? You're not dependent on the industry. What are you waiting for Brillstein to call you? Like, they don't give a fuck about you. You got to do shit on your own.
Okay. Well, actually, I think this is kind of good advice. Well, I'm really interested to tackle some cuz with you. If you don't know what cuz is, it's what we scream at people when they are doing something that isn't really true to them. Like, but they're doing it to present, like, so that other people think they're cool. And it's only a thing that you would do. It would never be something you do alone. And I wonder if this Edge.
Yeah.
Are you like this even in your darkest moments alone? Like, do you have this? Are you always like, even if these walls could talk, walls of your bedroom, would they go, holy shit,
they'd follow me on TikTok.
They would. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying things even alone that you can't even believe you would say.
I don't even say them out loud. Just afraid of what the pillow will think.
Dude. Okay. But you're not scared of being canceled?
Every day I am, but that's why I'm so edgy, because I still go for it.
Okay, well, let's get into this.
I'd love to have
your commentary on these collections of cuz. We get the sentence.
I bet you would. You would like mine.
I would. Thank you so much for being here, Edge.
You're welcome.
I know you have a big. You have a schedule. Like, you're always hustling.
Yeah, come on. Let's get to it.
Okay, cool. Let's get to our collection of cuz.
What you were saying.
Yeah.
All right, let's read one, an email that we got to the Nikki Glaser podcast at gmail.com from Randy.
Edge, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just getting a little indigestion.
Okay. Edge, it's okay if you laugh. I think that's part of the character that I like so much about you.
Yeah, but I'm being serious because we're doing radio form.
Oh, right, got it. Okay. Okay, let's these got sent into the Nikki Glaser podcast at gmail.com. Let's hear it, Noah. Thank you.
I ate too much pussy last night. I think.
Okay, so this is from Randy. Working from home, took a 10-minute walk around the neighborhood to ward off post-lunch sleepiness. Decided to wear a Steve Miller Band t-shirt to look cool for any neighbors that might be outside. Warmly greeted three neighbors in a socially distanced fashion. Came home and realized that I had the shirt on backwards. God help me.
What a fucking idiot.
Well, that person was trying to, thought they were cool wearing a, first of all, who in their right mind thinks Steve Miller Band is cool? Like that's, I mean, I get it being ironically cool. Did Steve Miller Band do like, God, I used to love them. Yeah.
I'm a joker, I'm a toker, I'm a midnight stroker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to listen to that with my dad in the back of his Chevy.
She met you on somebody's island.
I saw a girl wearing a Def Leppard. Yeah. And it was like, I don't know when.
Are you talking about my jumper the other day?
No, this girl at the airport, there's no way in hell she knew one song. But that being said, you know, I've done that too, you know.
I just love the idea that I don't think it's funny to see a failed kuh. Like someone's trying to be kuh and they can't even get it right and they have it on backwards. Like, or they're trying to, they spell something wrong in their attempt to be kuh.
Also, so how old are you wearing a band shirt? Like, grow up.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you wear a lot of things that Edge. I
feel like you're
your
coming
style.
At me right now in front of these people.
No, I'm just saying that you, as someone who just doesn't care what people think, you seem to put a lot of effort into your outfit. I mean, they look curated. There's nothing wrong with that, but like, why make it look like you're not trying when you actually might be?
Well, there's a difference between wearing some badass streetwear, you know, that's curated by my team. And then there's another thing about buying a Steve Miller Band shirt that's not even real vintage, and you're claiming it's vintage, but you bought it for $9.99 at Spencer's.
Do you know like the history of Gucci? Like, why does Gucci appeal to you other than that it's, you know, it's expensive? I don't understand. Like, you know, people love Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, and like all of these brands. At least, you know, maybe if you know one Def Leppard song, that's enough to justify a shirt. Whereas Gucci, I don't even know, like, what about the label? Is the label
First of all, labels are everything.
Okay.
It's the only thing.
Okay. Let's get to another kuh.
Also, Gucci is the best, and that's all I care about. Steve Miller Band shirt is maybe 38th in 70s bands.
All right. Well, there you have it. You heard it here last. Okay, the Edge is not. The Edge is grumpy today, but we'll keep going on. Let's hear about this next cut submitted by another bestie.
All right, this is a voicemail from Brianna.
Okay, Brianna.
Hi, Nikki. Hi, Andrew. Hi, Noah. My name's Brianna, and I live in San Francisco. And I have a kuh story to tell you. So I was on my run today, and this matte black, super freaking sick Tesla comes pulling out of a street, and it's at a stop sign, and the guy sees me coming. I'm like, I want to say 6 feet away from him, right? And he was at the stop sign, so I had the right of way. I'm coming down super quick. It's like 7 a.m. and he decides to rev his engine and basically almost run over my foot and make a spinny U-turn out of that development. And I honestly tried running so fast so I could catch up to him and tell him off, but I was like, whatever. Funny thing, so he turns around and pulls a U-ey because he was dropping his kid off at the daycare that's on that street. And so I ended up running by his car, like right up to his window, and I looked him dead in the face and I go, "Kah!" This guy looked so confused. You could tell he was in biotech and all he cared about was computers, whatever. So love the pod.
I
love that he got kid by a girl that he was trying to impress, and I love that you had the balls to kid him to his face. I love that he had to do it's so funny when someone revs their engine and has to do a U-turn, like in a cul-de-sac, and then they have to slow down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're pulling up to a daycare. Like, that's wearing the Steve Miller Band shirt backwards. Like, you fucked up your kuh. You peel out, and then you plow through the daycare. That's commitment to being cool. You are a fake kuh if you're revving up to a daycare.
Also, you rev up a Tesla. What does that sound like? A freaking go-kart going, you know, or a golf cart going.
Yeah, it sounds like the Apple sound. Like
I drive, you know, kind of, you know, I like that real engine.
Yeah.
That Camaro, 600 horsepower, lightning stripes. That's what I like.
Yeah. What does that tell people about you?
That I got a little dick, but it's strong.
Okay. Like, and like we covered before, so it's a wide one. You got girth?
I got neither.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But you're confident about it.
So confident.
It doesn't matter?
No, because my car goes 700 horsepower down through a daycare. I kill 19 kids.
That men
yeah, what's up?
Worry about buying cool cars because of the connotation that it means their dick is small. Like it's almost like there's a part of them that, because that joke is so commonly known.
Yeah, I know. It's weird that it's exactly my life.
I'm trying to think of any cuz I've witnessed recently, but like there's, you know, the other day, like the girl in the elevator who made an announcement to us that she was
Was the woman saying she has a 24-year-old kid.
Yeah, like not that that's her truth, but saying it like she didn't know the reaction was going to be, you have a 24-year-old kid. Like when you're baiting to get attention for the thing that, like, and listen, I've been kuh before too. I'm trying to think of, I've been kuh recently. Whenever I choose to have a song playing when I pick someone up, and I want that song to be like in the middle of the song so it doesn't look like I just put it on, and I'll like fast forward it to the part. Like, that's kuh. And I've done it before.
What song?
I don't know. Like, just like, I'll pick a song that like is a favorite song of mine that isn't, it's not like a song I don't like that I think they'll like. So it always is something I like. But, you know, sometimes I will, sometimes when I'm running, I'll sing out loud. And if it's a cooler song, I will sing it out loud prouder than if it's like not a cool, like I will never sing Cardi B out loud because I don't want to seem, even though that's always what I'm listening to, I don't want to seem, I don't want people to go kuh.
Yeah.
So almost like the avoidance of kuh, where you abandon what you actually like because it might seem kuh, might be kuh because you're adjusting so that other people think you're not lame. Whoa.
That's a kuh behind the kuh, I guess.
Whoa. Let's get to final thoughts.
I like when girls run.
Wait, final thought. You like when girls run?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you got to keep it tight.
Oh, okay.
For my small, strong cock.
Edge has become a different character altogether. I like how you didn't even know that I was going to bring Edge in, and you were looking at the computer like suddenly we're going to have a special guest. Andrew truly didn't know that I was going to bring him in. That was my favorite part. That's why I gave Edge such a long intro, because I could see Andrew going, we didn't talk about having a guest today, but I guess it's Wednesday.
That's so true.
He was looking at the computer, and I go, I can't wait till he finds out it's him. And then
I like, though, Edge having layers. Like, for me, this is Andrew, the thespian, speaking. Edge, when he's on stage, he is very gregarious and like fun, and he's like,
well, we know who you're doing an impression of, you and I, right? Like where it started, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's when you first did Edge on Friday night when we were in Orlando, that's where it started. It was backstage. It's
kind of a hard segment to do that character.
No, man.
Should we go? Let's do one more, and I'll try to do that character.
No, and I'm not saying that what you just did was, people love Edge and all of his many.
I feel like people are going to enjoy that Edge as well.
Exactly. They love Edge. What I'm saying I love is when you nail the person that I want you to, like, because he did it the other night. It was born when we were in Orlando and we were backstage, and someone said that they had seen this guy that we were making fun of perform, and they said, you know, my friends got me a ticket to a show. I went, and I just want to hear your thoughts about him, Nikki. A bestie DM'd me and said, what are your thoughts on this comedian? Because I just went to a show, my friends had tickets, and she wrote me before, I think. And I go to it and please let me know.
Yeah.
And then she wrote, he did abortion material, which I think would have been okay from a woman, but when he did it, it made me physically ill. And I almost didn't like the part of like, if a woman did it, she could, because I think anyone should be able to do any kind of material. I don't really like the, oh, you get to do it because you are this.
Yes.
Like, we should all be able to comment whatever we want. But listen, the way she felt is the way she felt. And I think she probably would have been made ill from that coming from a woman's voice too. But I am not sure. So then that's when I read it to Andrew and Emil, this interpretation of this person's performance. And then I said, I bet the crowd fucking loved it no matter what. She was like, I really felt like I was at a Trump rally. It was like really made me sad. And it was alarming. And so I go, then Andrew goes, I bet I could do exactly what the bit was, what he said about abortion. I bet you anything. And I go, why don't I film this and send it to her? So shout out to that.
Oh, did she ever write back?
Yeah, she wrote back and was like, oh my God, it was like spot on.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so we filmed you doing an impression of this comic tackling the subject of abortion. And I posted that on my story on Friday night. It killed, and that was where Edge was born.
Yes.
And you just like, Ed, there was a moment where you knocked over the chair. You just kept laughing, being like, I mean, I'm not, do you want me to say it? Like, I don't want to say it, but like,
yeah.
And.
Like, no, I could. Next time we
can
do
I
it,
give you a, can I'll, I give you a subject to tackle right before we leave?
Yeah. I'll do it more like if he was trying harder.
Noah, do you have any subject matter that you think maybe comedians wouldn't normally tackle that you could give Andrew to go off on?
Periods? I don't know.
Periods, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, they should only come at the end of a sentence. That's what I think.
Oh, shit.
You know what? I can't fucking say this out loud. I can't.
I gotta ask. No. Like, I'm dying for you
to
say it.
Dude, I
can't. No, dude, we can take it.
No, like, how many people listen? A lot of people listen. I can't.
But the
man.
Thing is, my listeners are fucking cool. And
you
when,
sure?
When I say that, it'll reinforce to them, even if they would get offended, they'll now like you because I've told them that they're cool. So they'll subconsciously be like, if I don't like this, I'm not cool, and Nikki won't think I'm cool. So then they're gonna like this no matter what. Because
right.
This is the trick
right,
of this.
I'll
stuff.
Go in. I'll go
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So my listeners are cool. Don't worry, man. They're all fucking cool as shit. They're gonna love whatever.
All I mean, right, all
they can take
all
it. They
all
can
right,
take
I'll
it.
Say it. I'll say what I. All right. This is okay. This is
periods, man.
All right. So periods, right? So.
And listen, I do not condone anything he says. This is not the statement of the Nikki Glaser podcast. This is all Edge.
Yo, when I see a girl bleeding, I think like it's like her thoughts.
Dude.
Like this is why women are dumb as fuck.
You're fine.
Because they bleed out all their like their brain out of their pussy. You know what I mean? So, like, if their brain's coming out of their pussy, how are they going to get equal pay? They're always like, oh, I want equal pay. I'm like, bitch, you bleed for a week.
You're
guys
insane.
We have all our blood.
Right.
You know what I mean? Guys have 100% blood every month, every year. Women, you bleed out. How the fuck are you going to do fucking...
You know what I'm going to do right now as the host?
You're going to run a company?
I'm going to look in my lap and shake my head to say I don't agree with this, but like laugh in a way that I do. So just in case someone comes after me, I can say that I don't agree with it. But I'm definitely leading my listeners on just in case people like this, because I don't know how it's going to be interpreted later on. They'll know that I agree with you, but in case they don't like it, I can always say that I didn't agree with you. No. So I'm going to shake my head and kind of laugh under my breath, okay?
Dude. God, dude, I'm
You're
not
crazy,
trying.
Man.
I'm
You're
not...
crazy. We gotta go. This has been the Nikki Glaser podcast.
Oh wait, yo, can I plug?
Yeah, plug away, man.
Yeah, plug out. All right, hey, check me out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitch, Twitter, MySpace, Friendsta, and Dogsta.
Dogster?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's where I go there and fuck a dog.
I mean, dude, you're crazy.
Yeah, I fuck all dogs.
Well, this is what happens on my show, yo. I can't control these guests. I can't. This is the Nikki Glaser podcast, man. I'm not at fault here. This is just a guy. This is an open forum.
I one time fucked a beagle in the face.
Oh, my God. We got to go. You guys, listen to the show tomorrow. We'll be back with a normal show. It's Nikki Glaser podcast. Don't be cur out there. And
jack off your face, bitch.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.